This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
John Pesutto. John is previously was a member of the state seat of Hawthorne. I'm going to embarrass him and say that he's in the frame potentially to be a senator if he gets the nod, but I know he's not allowed to talk about that. Because if he is putting his hat into the ring, Liberal Party rules don't allow you to publicly lobby, do they, John?
Well, Macca, thank you for the invite in this morning. Good morning, everybody, and good morning, listeners. Well, I can talk.
You can?
I can talk because fantastic. I can break it here.
Oh.
I'm not running.
You're not?
No. I thought about it, but it's just not the right time. But,
okay, so your hat's out of the ring.
Yeah, for the moment.
For the moment.
Like, was that a hard decision to make?
It is, actually, because as all of you will know and all of our listeners will know, these opportunities don't come up very often. So you really have to think hard about, is this your chance now? And you have to be realistic about it, I think, and as level-headed as you can be. And I've been around long enough to know.
So we're the first ones to be told this publicly?
Publicly, yeah.
Look.
I've told people that, but I don't think I've
Have you told Comrade Kroger?
No.
Michael, if you're listening from the
Politburo. I know he's a big supporter of the show.
He is. He loves it. You know, I got some stats for the last 6 months. Michael was the most downloaded podcast in the last 6 months, followed by Dean Smith and Sally Capp.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Michael Kroger.
Yeah.
That'd be my father.
That's right, yeah.
Downloading over and over and over again. Thanks, Dad.
I call him Comrade Kroger. Now, John, we wanted to, and thanks for coming in. One of the things we wanted to ask about, first off, we spoke briefly or a bit earlier to Tim Wilson about the Religious Freedoms Bill, and he said, look, actually, it's about a religious anti-discrimination bill. He said, it's not about religious freedoms. It's about not, if you have a religious belief, not being discriminated against, or if you don't have a religious belief. And Tim gave us a pretty strong commitment that he said that our community, the LGBTI community, has nothing to fear from this legislation. As a lawyer, Shadow Attorney General, drafting this is going to be pretty difficult, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. This is a fraught area.
Do you think we need it?
My own view is no, and I've said that kind of as much publicly in a piece I wrote recently on this. And it's an area where, I'll be very candid with you all, I find it frustrating because for me, as a lawyer and a student of history on these things, I like to think that for the debate to proceed in a very civil way, in a very considered way, the architecture has to be sound. And what I get frustrated about...
Sounder than cladding, that's for sure.
That's right. Sometimes more flammable, unfortunately. But what I get frustrated with is I find on all sides of the debate, there's a kind of what I describe as a gerrymandering of human rights laws to protect favoured views. And what I think the human rights framework needs to do is be something that isn't seen to be favouring one side but deals fairly and justly with all sides. So yeah. I'm not a fan of this because I think, it will complicate the interaction of state laws with federal laws and also with federal instruments as well. So I think this is a very fraught area, and if something is to be passed, my own preference is that it be very modest.
Tim gave we asked for an example of, you know, why does this need to come in, and he did give an example about a Muslim guy. I've forgotten the example now, but I just feel like it's a knee-jerk reaction, and a lot of people that I speak to just seem to think that it's a license to be rude. Like, for people to be rude in the name of religion.
Or to protect their right to be rude. About us, particularly. Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusion. Mm. And I'm not sure that Tim clarified it any more or any better. But I'm interested in your legal aspect, you know, given your background. And you're sort of confirming now that we actually don't need to have these legal protections?
I don't think so, because I think the law can always be improved. I'm a fan of that view. But you've got to be really careful, because if this is a positive statement about affirming a religious freedom, then all it does, it will invite other questions about what other attributes and what other viewpoints ought to be protected. Because after all, you know, as someone who practiced in this field for many years, there are a range of attributes and a range of viewpoints that garner the protection of the law. So it's equality before the law, which I know is, you know, important to the community listening today. There's freedom of political views. There is, of course, freedom of religious views. There's industrial activity, union activity, which is protected. All nature of things are protected under our current laws. And if you're going to single out one area, I find that very concerning for me, because it's, well, what does that say about the other attributes which are protected under international covenants that we have signed up to? And it's just, it's an area where you just need to be very sedate and sober in the way you proceed on these things. I don't think that there needs to be a law myself.
Look, I agree with you. It doesn't mean, because we can't see an absolute compelling need for it, that it doesn't need to be done. But I would have thought there's more important things. I would have thought, you know, issues such as the commitment that the Prime Minister gave about protecting LGBTI students and staff actually is more important. And I always come from the view that our sexuality is who we are. We don't get to choose that. Your religion, you do. And I respect religious beliefs. And someone actually attacked me in the supermarket the other day.
Really?
Who took issue with me, someone that I knew, and said, you know, you're anti-religion. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, I support the franchise industry. I support franchises, and that's what it is. I said, it's a belief, pure and simple. Mm. Our sexuality is not. Our race is not. But I think the issues that we, you know, that my community face, we do feel fearful about this, because we are in the crosshairs over it. And, you know, if we're going to go to hell, we're not going to be lonely, Lisa.
No, that's true.
There's going to be a lot of interesting good people there, the adulterers and everyone. Not so sure about the tats, but...
Look, I'm a Catholic, but I don't think I've ever been employee of the month. look, I hear what you're saying, and I think there are some questions around that. Mm. The law certainly shouldn't allow that. I mean, we had a debate about this, some time ago in the Parliament, and... Victoria seems to have got... It's not perfect. I'm not pretending it's a perfect regime, but it seems to, if you look at the amount of cases that come before the courts, which are relatively few with other jurisdictions, we have a culture and a framework that I think strikes that reasonably well. I have a legal view that you can't dismiss someone because of their sexuality, even in a religious institution, unless it engages a question about... carrying out the liturgy or some kind of commissioned role within that religious order. Short of that, and even that might have its issues, the law allows very limited scope, as it should in my view, to do anything detrimental on the basis of sexual orientation or any other attribute under the law.
Do you think this is a kind of like a smokescreen of ScoMo's government to talk about something that will probably split the electorate? Is there something else going on that is being ushered through that we don't know about? I feel like there's just... this is not a massive priority for anybody, really. Protections to the queer community are priorities, but religious freedom is not... You know, a discrimination bill seems like such a weird thing to be focusing on at the moment for the government.
Yeah, look, I think, in fairness to the government, Lisa, what I'd say is I think they're trying to deal with this internally, and not just in terms of the party room, but the broader... movement on the right of centre politics.
Yeah, but I feel like it's a bit of a marketing exercise to move away from Turnbull, who was supposedly moderate and supposedly more left, to a far right.
Don't forget, he said religious freedom was more important to him than marriage equality. Don't forget.
Turnbull.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And the irony is that this actually came out of the Ruddock Review.
That's true. I guess his image, as opposed to ScoMo, who has done a 60 Minutes interview where he's basically speaking in tongues and, you know, highlighting his religion, it strikes me as a marketing exercise to say, hey, we are moving far right, we are moving away from the previous leadership.
Look, that could be right. What I... what I think's going on is that there's a debate that's largely at cross purposes. There's a debate about what the law ought to be, and I actually, as I said a few moments ago, I'm not sure the law needs to be changed at all. Then there's this other issue about the public square. And what I mean by that is, as somebody who, you know, is an imperfect Catholic practitioner, I have to confess, we have to. I'm not sure that Tim Costello said this as elegantly as he might have, but I see what point he was trying to make. We live in a robust democracy.
Yeah.
And as somebody who has, you know, a religious background, I expect that if I were to express a view, I live in a free country and people are allowed to express a contrary view. Mm. Now, what I've said publicly about Israel Folau's comments is I found them offensive, like I think all of us did. And hypocritical, to be quite frank, when you look at other passages of particularly Old Testament scripture. It was really hard to take that seriously. But does he have the right to say it? I guess he does under the law. Is he right to say it? No.
I suppose in Folau's case was it's basically a contract breach.
Oh, I agree with that. And I think it's been mischaracterised and has become a proxy for other issues that are far more complex than that allows.
I'm always wondering where the alcoholics are in this. They're very silent about being told they're going to hell. They need the alcoholics society.
As long as there's grog there, they'll be fine.
Maybe that's what they're counting on.
Yeah. We've actually run out of time, John, but just really, really quickly. Wage theft, should it be criminalised? If I steal $10,000 out of your bank account, that's covered by the Crimes Act. Why is taking $10,000 out of my wages not?
I'll say possibly, and I'll say this for this reason. I'm not a fan of the concept, but I can understand the public outcry over this, particularly this week with the Kalambaris matter. Two things, I reckon. First of all, it's very difficult to identify what the mental element should be for a criminal offence. That's really hard to do. Second thing, as a former industrial relations lawyer, I'll give you an example of the problem with our system. I remember a time when myself as a special counsel, another special counsel and two partners, between the four of us, a lot of experience, we couldn't agree what award applied to a client.
Right. Yeah.
So there are two issues. I think the law should come down hard on people who are deliberate or reckless.
Well, you weren't the only one who couldn't make that decision.
is it too complex for industry?
I think it is. And what I'm pushing for is that before we come to the issue of whether you're criminalised, because it kind of already is in a sense, if you dishonestly rip off your worker superannuation fund entitlements, hell, you should go to see the law, the full force of the law. But I think we do need to have a discussion about how we simplify.
John, we've run out of time.
See, that went quickly.
But you're welcome. You're welcome to stay. You're welcome to stay. It's up to you.
I've got to head up to town. Watch my
He's wearing a suit, Macca.
I know.
Special happening.
But we're going to get you back again because I always enjoy it. And you know, there's more people listen to us than watch Sky. You know that.
No, well, I'm always up for a visit in here. You know that. I've never said no.
No, I know. I know you haven't. You've been very gracious.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.